I like it. I believe them three girls could get up and sing a country song and God would be all over it. Amen. What a blessing. It's not bad advice either. Just shout to the Lord. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and, boy, about got me tore up. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. Just a simple little lesson tonight. And I was thinking while I was getting ready to preach this afternoon, I often say that when I'm about to preach, just a simple thought or a simple lesson. And you know, that's what life is. It's a series of lessons. Some of them we learn, and some of them just goes right over our head. I wonder how many times you've ever made the statement, I'll never do this again. And then you did it again. Come on, talk to me. You said, I'll never do this again. And then he did it again. Yeah. Come on. Seemed like sometimes we'd learn the first time around, wouldn't we? Amen. Well, in Genesis chapter number 12, Abraham gets himself in a mess. He gets himself into a place where he's lying. He's lying about who his wife is, and he gets in a little trouble. But I want to look at verse number 10 and take just a few thoughts tonight that I hope will be a blessing. And in verse number 10, the Bible said, and there was a famine in the land. Who knows what a famine is? Come on, y'all, talk to me a little bit. Who knows what a famine is? We are in a sort of a famine in America. Would you agree? There's a little bit of a drought when it comes to our economy. But I would also go as far to say we are in a very serious spiritual famine in America. Old time religion is on its way out. They've been saying it for years, and I argued with it for years. Now I believe it. Amen. The Bible preaching doesn't draw crowds anymore. Bible teaching doesn't draw crowds anymore. It's all about the dramatic. It's all about the performance. It's all about the personality. Amen. We are in a spiritual famine. This world is starving to death. Do you know why so many people are following these false religions? You have any idea? I was talking to Brother Chris Smith yesterday from over at Kingsway, and we got to talking about this very thing, and it kind of spurred this thought about the famine that we are seeing in America. And he's talking about these people that he knows are in a church that ain't got the right Bible, ain't got the right doctrine. They're all mixed up. But he said this. He said, they're some of the most sincere Christians I've ever met. Could that be true? Yeah, sure it could. Sure it could. Did you know back in the 1800s, some of the great heroes of the faith didn't have their doctrine right? What was the problem? They just didn't know. They just didn't know. I know we're real critical sometimes, but where we need to be critical is not so much the people that are following, but the people who are feeding the junk. Amen. They ought to be named. They ought to be called out in public places and say, hey, that guy's a liar. But we're in a spiritual famine. I know they're building super churches and people are flocking to them by the thousands, but that doesn't mean they're being spiritually fed. They're spiritually anorexic. The Bible said there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, just a couple of things. I want you to think just for a minute. Why did Abraham go to Egypt? Talk to me out loud. Food. What kind of food? Physical food. Is that right? I should have just maybe read a lot of this chapter, but if you know your Bible, do you think Abraham should ought to went to Egypt? That's what God brought us out of, right? Egypt is always a type of the world. When God led his children out of bondage, where did he lead them from? Come on. He led them out of Egypt. Egypt in your Bible, every time you see it, it is a picture of the world, or it is a picture of your past. You remember when the children of Israel were going across the wilderness and they started lusting after the flesh pots in Egypt? You remember that? They wanted the onions, the leeks, and the garlics, and they got to saying, man, we had it better when we as slaves. No, you did not. You never had it better as a lost man than you do as a saved man. You can have a tumor in your belly the size of a watermelon, saved and on your way to heaven, and that is 10 times better than being perfectly healthy and on your way to hell. Don't ever go back to Egypt. That's what God drew you and rescued you and pulled you out of. So because of a physical problem, Abraham goes somewhere he shouldn't have been. Now, there's a famine in the land. Does anybody know what land that famine is in? It's Canaan. The land of Canaan is where the famine is. Now, here's what I want you to get tonight. Canaan was the will of God for Abraham, was it not? Amen. That's where he told him to go. Amen. And no sooner did he get there than there was a famine broke out. He got there to where God told him to be, and the food was cut off. Somebody ought to be bearing witness right there. Isn't it amazing that you search and you plead and you beg God for His will for your life? He shows it to you. You do your best to obey it, and it seems like the rug gets snatched totally out from under you. Here's what I want to say. When you find a famine, you can find a physical famine in the will of God. I've been in them. I'm talking about the money can get cut off. Oh, yeah. I know. Man, there's been days where Brother Tom said, Preacher, if you don't mind, wait a few days before you put your check in the bank. It could get worse than that. It has for some of you. But does that mean you're out of the will of God? Did you know that's what some of this worldly, secular crowd teaches? Or they say they're not worldly. They're supposed to be great spiritual leaders. But if you're having financial difficulty, you're probably out of the will of God. Amen. I'm going to be real careful right here, but a young preacher who used to go to our church and moved out of town, he's in another state. He called me on the phone the night before last, and we talked for about an hour. His wife just gave birth to a baby, and after the baby's fine, but she had some difficulty, some physical problems after the pregnancy. Got very, very sick and put back in the hospital. Well, he called his brother, who goes to another church near where he is, and a church where I've preached many times. And I love them with all my heart, but they're mean as striped snakes. He called his brother and to tell him to pray for his wife and what was wrong. You know what his brother's response was? You better get right with God. You better get right with God. Sometimes because problem has arisen in your life doesn't mean that you're not right with God. Okay? But the first thing we want to bail on is God. When the famine came, God said, go to Canaan. Yes, sir. He obeyed God, went to Canaan. The physical food, the physical necessity got taken away. So the first thing he does is ditch the will of God for his life. Yes, come on, preacher. Amen. Hey, it's going to get tough sometimes. Yes, sir. As a Christian, it's going to get tough. We were promised that in the Bible. Yes, amen. In this world, he said, ye shall have tribulation. You know what tribulation is? It's famine. Do you know what famine is? It's trial. It's trouble. It's heartache. It's people talking about you behind your back. It's everything you can label up under there. Amen. And I know, I've had so many people tell me, Preacher, I ain't never had it so tough in my life. Since I got right, and boy, I'm trying to do something for God now, it's just worse than it ever was. Welcome to the club. Now listen, I'm not saying that that's the norm for the Christian. It should not be. I know we have individuals like Brother Shane. I was talking to him yesterday, and I'll tell you who Shane reminds me of a little bit, and that's Job. That's Job. I know you can't really compare them. He hadn't lost what Job lost, but his troubles have been continual. So that's the comparison I'm making. It's not like he has a trouble here and a trouble there, and oh, he has them boom, 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 and it seems like it don't never stop. Does that mean Shane Reese is out of the will of God? If you go to his house and knock on his door and tell him he's suffering like he's suffering and his child's suffering like she's suffering, all because he ain't right with God, I will personally raise up in this church, call you out publicly, and we'll vote you out. Amen. Amen. You say, well, how do you know? How do you know that he's not right with God? I don't know. I don't know, but it ain't your job to pass that judgment and say that all this has come on his life. Listen, if that happened to half of us in here, we wouldn't be here. And I got news for you. If Brother Shane Reese could get in this building, he'd be here tonight. Amen. He's asked me 15 times, when am I going to get to preach that message? When am I going to get to preach that message? Amen. Man, he still loves God. He still reads his Bible. But is he having trouble? Yes. Abraham got to where God said go, and bam, trouble met him head on. Did you know that's a good sign you're probably where you ought to be? That's a good sign you're probably where you ought to be. If you just took on some new task, something for the Lord, a new job, a new class, a new whatever it is, and brother, you ain't done nothing but fight hell by the half acre, you're probably doing all right. Amen. I hope we're okay tonight. Abraham got in a worse mess because he went to where the flesh could be fed. Amen. Don't ever ditch the will of God just because the Lord has sent a test of your faith. Amen. A famine coming where God has sent you is a real test. Abraham his faith was tested regarding the will of God. I think he failed. Let's look at a couple things tonight and we'll go. Statement number one, the will of God will be tested. The will of God will be tested. I know pastors who resign their church because they're having a little trouble. They do. I've heard pastors stand in their pulpit and say, if y'all don't straighten up, I'm resigning. What a stupid statement. They ain't never going to straighten up. Amen. Amen. My pastor in this church does not depend on what you do or how you respond or how you react. My pastor in this church depends on it being the will of God for my life. Amen. God didn't say go preach as long as they listen. Amen. God didn't say go preach as long as they respond every time. Yeah. God didn't say go preach as long as you're having 100 get saved every service. He just said go preach. Right. Amen. Amen. The will of God will be tested. We often get the idea that if we do or obey the will of God, that everything's just going to be hunky-dory. They teach that. They teach that on the television every day. Do they not? If you'll send, they don't ever ask for five. But if you'll send $20, if you'll send $100, we'll send you this, and we'll pray for you, and God will bless you sevenfold. That's a lie. Some people think, well, if I tithe, God will bless me. Could be true. But you could lose your job tomorrow. So how do you know? We've had tithing people lose their job. They were given to God faithful. So what's that saying? That's saying either God's a liar or that crowd on the television's a liar. Just because you're in the will of God doesn't mean the money's going to come pouring in just because you gave your 10%. Amen. Here's the real test. Will you still tithe when you're broke? There's the real test. The test is this, to see if you'll be obedient in the will of God. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself, but the will of God will be tested. Most pastors think if he's where he's supposed to be, that God's just going to add to the church and it's going to be huge and great and tremendous. I know pastors that are willing in the will of God and ain't got 20 people. Amen. We went through this thing in the 60s and the 70s in the independent Baptist movement, and everybody thought that every church had to be like the big church in Hammond, Indiana. Yeah. That was the model. Yeah. Are y'all listening? I'm talking about Dr. Hiles, one of my heroes. I loved him. But every church ain't supposed to have 60,000 people. Right. Amen. Amen. I know pastors are pastoring in towns that ain't got 60,000 people. Yeah. Amen. I know preachers are in Kentucky, man. They preach their hearts out three times a week. They love their people. They're in the hospitals every other day. They're doing everything they ought to do as a pastor, but they ain't seen nobody saved in a year. Does that mean they're out of the will of God? No, they're just in a famine. They're just in a famine. Just because the physical or even the spiritual blessings dry up doesn't mean God's ready for you to jump ship. Amen. The will of God will be tested. What God may want to know is, will you hang in there? Yes, sir. Will you trust Him? Or every time trouble comes, are you going to run hide? Amen. Amen. The will of God. I wonder if God's will for your life
has been tested. I wonder if it has. Since you got right with God, have you had some battles? Have you been tempted to leave here and not come back? I'm serious. Think about it tonight. Throw in the towel and say, the heck with it. It ain't worth the trouble. On everybody's got anything to do with the bus ministry. Turn around. Stand up again right there, girl. Yeah, Latours. Just stand up. They're worth it. Thank you. They're worth it. Just because everything ain't going your way don't mean that they're not worth it.
Amen.
Amen. The will of God will be tested. Not only that, the promise of God will be tested.
Amen.
Do you understand that? Trial, and trouble and tribulation seems to mock God's promises, doesn't it?
Yep.
I mean, there's scriptures I throw in God's face day after day. I thought you said ask what you will. Amen.
Amen.
I thought you said no good thing will I withhold. I thought you said you'd never leave. I thought you said. But what I'm going through doesn't line up with what you said. Amen. Do you still believe God's promises when you're in the heat of it? But what happens a lot of times when we get in that famine time in our life, that downtime, that hard time, that rough time, and we think God has forsaken us and He's forgotten all His promises, what He's doing is setting us up for something bigger. If we'll just hold on. Amen. If we'll just hang on. You don't know what's around the corner. You have no idea. I mean, man, think about Abraham. Did God promise him a son? Come on, talk to me tonight. Did God promise him a son? He told him he'd multiply his seed like the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. God said, I'm going to do that. Did God mean it?
Yes.
Well, he's what, 90? How old was he? 90? 90. 90 years old. You reckon he had given up? He had a little habit, didn't he? Kind of like us. When things got tough and it didn't look like God was going to come through, he tried to fix it himself. Amen. Hence, we wound up with Ishmael. Hence, we're fighting over in the Middle East tonight. Amen. All they had to do was wait on God. Yeah, but I'm getting old and it just ain't happening. God knows how old you are. God knows where you are. He may be trying to teach you trust. He may be trying to teach you patience. Did God give the son? Sure He did. Sure He did. And when that boy was young, God put a final test on Abraham in Genesis 22. He said, take him to one of the mountains that I'll tell thee of and offer him there for a burnt offering. You know what Abraham said? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know what I think he learned? I think he learned something down there in Egypt. I think he learned something with that handmaid, that concubine or whatever she was. I think he learned something with her. I think he learned when he was a 90-year-old man, finally, I get it. If God said it, God means it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Listen, if God led me here, God can feed me here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Have you ever gotten a spiritual famine? Right here, sitting in this church, listening to the preaching 3 times a week, and you just don't feel like you're getting nothing? Come on. Hang on. Just stay put. Don't jump ship. Listen, if you're not getting nothing here, I promise you, you ain't going to get it nowhere else. That famine will follow you. Somebody may pump your flesh a little bit and make you feel a little better, but you're not going to get fed. If you're not being fed here, you're not going to get fed nowhere else. Amen. When the famine comes, stay still, and here's what I do. When it starts getting tough and I don't know which way to turn, I don't have it with me. It's in my truck. But in the back of my little soul winner's New Testament, there is a whole section. It's called God's Precious Promises. Anybody got one of those?
Yes.
You ever read them? Huh? You remember when you was a little kid? I know when Levi was little, he'd say, Daddy, remember you promised? Daddy, remember you promised we'd do this? Daddy, you remember you promised we'd do that?
Yeah.
And you know what I'd do? I'd go, boy, I sure did, son. First chance I get, buddy, we'll do that. Day or two later, Daddy, you remember you promised? Any of your kids do that? Daddy, you remember you promised? You know what that does? For a father who loves his kid, that'll make that father who loves his child say, man, I have got to get that thing done for that boy. I'm busy and I've got this on my plate and that on my plate and bills to pay, but he's a kid and he don't understand. Lord, help me to do this thing that I promised my son I'd do, whether it's go fishing or go camping or whatever it is. Amen. Why? Because that child constantly reminded the father about the promise. Amen. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to just constantly, I ain't talking about, now bless God, if you don't do this, you don't push God around, you don't command God to do anything. Amen. But in a humble and a right spirit, take that little precious promise book and say, God, please restore my faith in what you said. I'm doubting it right now. Lord, I know, I believe every word of your Bible. I believe every word of this book. But God, I'm going through it, and you promised this, and you promised that.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, Lord, if there's something I need to learn before I receive the promise, help me to get it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But Lord, also help me not to doubt your promise.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a sincere question. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder in your heart how many of you believe God sent you here. How many of you believe God literally sent you here? Some of you already know exactly why you were sent here. Some of you know. God sent me here for this purpose. God sent me here for that purpose. Since God sent me here, He's done this in my life. He's restored this in my life and restored that in my life. Did you know I've spent the majority of my Christian life as your pastor? The greatest blessings I know has come through this place.
Amen.
Amen. So when the famine comes, I'm not going to ditch it.
Yeah.
Amen. When the tough time comes, and these times come where I'm struggling. I've told Brother Freddie and Brother Charles, Brother Eric when he was here, that I go through dry spells. I know y'all think I'm just so heavenly and it just rains down out of the ceiling in my room and I get all these thoughts and all these sermons. Man, do you know how much I dig and scratch and scrape?
Amen, bro.
Some of these preacher boys, you think there ain't nothing to it. Wait, my brother Eric got to Texas. You remember that? Brother Eric got to Texas. He called me up. He said, I don't see how you do it.
Amen.
I say, I ain't nothing to it if you're right with God. He said, I don't see how you come up with 3 messages a week, travel and preach all the time. How do you do it? I say, ain't nothing to it. I'm lying like a dog. I go through those famines. But then I have those days, brother, where it's just there.
Yes, sir.
And the windows of heaven do open.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
And when I get through preaching, I couldn't tell you half of what I said because it totally came from somewhere else.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know what that, do you know what? That those famines make you appreciate those days.
Amen.
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 Listen, it will rain again.
It
will rain again. In other words, blessings will come again.
Amen.
Amen. You say, you think the economy will ever turn around? I don't know. I really don't. Heaven will fix it.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm here to tell you. God's promises will be fulfilled in your life. Amen. Some of you are sitting here going, I don't know what my purpose is. I believe God sent me here, but I don't know what for. Set still. Set still. I wouldn't embarrass him for nothing, but I'm going to use Brother Tony Avery a little bit. I'm going to kick him every chance I got. He gave me his boat and took it back. That's wicked. Brother Tony came here. How long you been here, Brother Tony? 3 years? Man, about time you done something, ain't it? Brother Tony come here, and we got to be friends. When Brother Tony first came, he said, Brother Eddie, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. He said, "Would you mind if I just sit for a while?" I said, "By all means, brother. Sit as long as you need to sit." God sent him here to heal. But a few weeks ago, healing's over. Brother Tony called me up and said, "Thinking about preaching in the prison. What do you think?" I said, "Go for it."
Amen.
Amen. "I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think?" I said, "Go for it."
Amen.
Amen. Just sit still.
Amen.
God will reveal it to you.
Yes, sir.
God will show you what it is He wants you to do. Listen, in the famine, the will of God will be tested. The will of God will be tested. Now listen, I ask you a question. How many of you thought God sent you here? Without a doubt, just about every one of us in our heart, we said yes. Well, if God sent you here, don't let the famine pull you away.
Amen.
Amen. Just because they got food down the road, Brother Warren come in this evening and he's been working at Roswell Street Baptist Church where Nelson Price was all those years. And they gave him 3 soundboards. 2 of them's bigger than this communion table. I'm talking about thousands of dollars worth of sound equipment. Just gave it to him. They were going to throw it in the trash. And I thought to myself, I might have even said it. I'm not sure. They throw away more than we take in. But I ain't going down there. They got thousands of dollars in the bank. They ain't got no Bible. Amen. Listen, just hang in there. It is so tempting to look at somebody else's life.
Amen.
You ever do that? Well, we're just talking tonight. Do you ever do that when you're getting in, going through a trial and you're going through this and you're going through that and you start looking at all you're doing for God? And then you start looking at this sorry rascal over here who ain't done nothing for God. He ain't never handed out a gospel tract. Probably don't pray. Probably don't read his Bible and seem like everything's going great. And you get mad? Come on. I ride down the road and I look at these buildings and I say, "God, that ain't right. Why are you blessing him like that? He ain't even got the right Bible. They got a rock band. God, why are you giving them all that stuff?" And God said, "I ain't gave them nothing." Are you listening? The devil has rewards too, brother. But they're going to be short-lived.
Amen.
What I'm saying is when you find the will of God for your life, trust it will be tested. Do not give up on the promises of God. They too will be tested.
Yes,
Amen. Listen, and lastly, and I'm done, obedience to God will be tested.
Amen.
Your obedience will be tested. You ever told your kids to do something just see if they'd do it?
Amen.
Just see if they'd really obey you. Huh? Come on, talk to me.
Amen.
You reckon God's ever asked you to do something just to see if you would?
Yes, sir. Yes, He does.
Your obedience will be tested. You know what the Bible said? Obedience is better than what?
Sacrifice.
I still believe that's in the book. Amen.
Yeah.
Sometimes God just wants to see if you will.
That's right.
Almost every young preacher in this church has had that test.
Yeah.
Brother Freddie's had it several times about the mission field. I believe that's enough. God knows you'll go. Amen. God knows you'll go. Amen. I've been through it. God just want to know if you will.
Amen.
Hey, I've been here 17 years. You know what I am? I'm comfortable. I may be a little bit at ease in Zion. Don't think God hadn't thrown some things in my face. And say, "Hey, would you be willing to do this?" Brother Warren put the big April Fool's joke out about me going to look at a church in Australia. But, brother, that thing really did confront me. When I stood out in front of that little church that Brother Randy started, and you're a prophet. Seriously, my wife and I stood there together, and I said, "If God told us to, would you move to Australia?" She said, "You'd had better be 1,000% sure." And it wasn't like a temptation thing, but it was a thing I went through in my heart. Would I do it? Would I do it if God said that was His will? Would I do? Would I obey? I know you're waiting on the answer, so am I. I don't know if I would or not. I hope I would. Amen? But I know right now I'm right dead where I'm supposed to be. Amen? Obedience. Nothing challenges our obedience like hard times. Nothing. Anybody can serve God when there's money in the bank. A new car in the driveway. Everybody in the house is healthy. Anybody that's saved can hang in there.
Amen.
But buddy, when them tough times come, through them months of the chemotherapy and all that, do you ever just feel like saying, I quit? You were scared to? Amen. That's a little more serious. But when it comes to these other little physical things, jobs, finances, all that kind of stuff. Amen. Sometimes you think it'd be easier just to quit. Come on. I get to thinking sometimes, you know, I used to be a plumber. I never had to listen to a piece of pipe tell me its problem. Amen. I never had to counsel a stick of copper. I never had to deal with nobody else's trouble. This sure was a boring life. Amen. I think I'm just going to obey God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Even when it gets tough. Even when it gets tough. Listen, nothing will challenge your obedience like trials or hard times or famines. Abraham went where God told him to go. You think God knew the famine was coming?
Yes, sir.
Think maybe God sent it? He didn't tell him to go to Egypt.
Amen.
You know what that led to? It led to lying.
Amen.
It led to cheating. It led to cover up. Because
yes,
he's in the wrong place.
Right,
anytime you go away from the will of God, I don't care if you're starving to death. Anytime you go away from the will of God, you're going toward trouble. I would much rather have the physical trouble than the spiritual trouble.
Amen.
At least in the famine, I'm on God's on my side.
Yes, sir.
At least in the famine, I know where I'm supposed to be. At least when the brook's dried up and the money's gone and blah, 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 and everything seems to be going wrong, at least I know I'm where He told me to go.
Yes. Amen.
And at least I know if He told me to go there, He's got some promises. And I don't know when, but He will fulfill them. So the very best thing I can do is take the test as it comes, trust God's promises are still true, and just be obedient.
Yes, sir.
Just do what I know that I'm supposed to do. Amen? I don't know if that's much help tonight.
Yeah, bro. Amen.
But I know where some of you are. And I know the devil's tempted you over and over and over just to throw in the towel. Maybe not to even leave the church, but just to give up what it is you're doing for God. Man, don't ever quit.
Amen.
Don't ever quit. Listen, I promise you this, it will get good again.
Amen.
I refer to that message Brother Fisher preached years ago, right before we moved into this building, on serving God out of duty or delight. One of the strongest, most powerful messages I've ever heard. I guess because it just really spoke to my heart. Sometimes we get into a place where we're just serving God out of duty.
Amen.
We're here because we feel like we're supposed to be. We're here because we feel like we got to be. Well, hey, that's okay. Serve through it.
Right,
it will become a delight again.
That's right.
Amen. It will become a delight again. Let's stand to our feet all over the house. What's the scripture say? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. It will rain again. Thank God. Appreciate you being in church tonight. Jeremiah, you and Timothy, come and hand out the prayer sheets for me. Huh? You was going to anyways? Amen, brother. Amen. Come and pick you up a prayer sheet, and let's spend some time praying. You get through praying, you're dismissed. Hey, let me tell you about something right quick before everybody gets down here. I'm going to try to get Brother Justin to hook up with Brother Randall, but Brother Randall has built a website dedicated to all our missionaries. It's got every one of our missionaries on there, their names, addresses, where they are, that kind of thing. And he's going to try and get some emails and where you could even contact them if you want to. So check that out. All right, come pray.